live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 234. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing the best I can with this weather change, too, here in Circle City, man, because literally I feel like, 48 hours ago, it was sunny and 68 degrees, and now we're in a little bit of the beginning parts of winter, man. But other than that, man, you know, doing all right, man. We're here to talk some sports. We're here to talk, you know, saying a little Coast, a little Pacers, a little NFL, a little NBA. But I know Brandon is chopping it a bit to get the official rundown. So, Brandon, please, without further ado, give us the official rundown of tonight's show.
Yeah, so we've got a big show this evening for us. We've got NFL. We've got our NFL talks recapping Colts-Raiders. Jeff, Saturday's first game. We'll talk Colts-Raiders. We'll talk college football. We'll have Tanner Penrod on. We'll give our picks and recap the previous week. We'll have that this evening. Wild rest of the week and then NFL weekend. And then a little bit of NBA news. Little college basketball talk. Last night was the big Champions Classic. So we'll talk a little college basketball. And we got to round out the show this evening with a quick take, because this Sunday is the end of an era, John, one way or another. It's a big show ahead of us. And as Negan would say, it's pee-pee pants time.
Oh, my goodness.
I went back and watched that episode the other day, where, man, looking back at that episode now, it's like, holy cow, like, that might have been the lowest Rick has been. And, John, this Sunday we get to find out, is your boy making a return to end this series? So,
as far as the Walking Dead is concerned, yes, man, this is the series finale coming Sunday of the Walking Dead. So we'll see what we can, what's revealed. Yeah. Finally, you know, saying we haven't seen Rick for like how long? I feel like over 2 years now.
Right.
He's kind of if anybody has never watched Walking Dead, shame on you. Rick is kind of this centralized character that this whole universe is kind of built around, and he's kind of been at. They faked his death, or whatever. Right, there's no spoiler right there. You know what I'm saying, Brandon, right? But yeah, this is the big ones, right? So I don't, Brandon. I think if we do get Rick, just like right at the end or something like that. But I'll be there to watch it for sure.
Gotcha. Sounds good. All right, let's dive right in. Let's go straight to the NFL, John.
Yeah.
Colts and Raiders, two teams going in the same direction, but. Both having troubles this year, but the Indianapolis Colts get a big win, John. Jeff Saturday gets his first dub.
Right. And then, immediately after. So, like, man, I don't know, Brady. A lot of folks thought it's going to be somewhat of a crap storm going into that game, especially with, like the media storm and the owner kind of just totally going, you know what I'm saying, Zeus on them and saying, yo, this is what's going to be and nothing else, right? And then Jeff Saturday, you know what I'm saying, a former Colts hero, comes in and rides in to kind of save the day. And boom, man. But here's the thing, Brandon, like, that ain't the team they gave Frank Reich, I feel like. I feel like he wasn't necessarily giving all the full troops and deploy. So, again, man, we'll dissect Frank Reich's legitimacy of firing some other time. Right now, we're, you know, saying we're in the middle of a season right there, and we know, you know, saying how that kind of draws out winning. Basically, that's what I think. Kind of winning kind of draws eyes and ears. You know, saying on a team. So, Jeff Saturday, we thought it was, you know, a lot of folks just thought it was going to be some crap storm. Like, okay, 30-year-old guy, just now. I get it that he's been involved around football. You know what I'm saying? Basically his adult life, but he's, you know, saying now he's automatic, boom, you're making him the offensive coordinator, boom. Jeff Saturday's the head coach, boom. A lot of things are not, you know what I'm saying, from a football, like how football teams are said to be standardly built, don't make sense right now. So here you go, man. And then they went out there and they competed, man. And that's the thing. Like, you can say all the things, and we can get into the Rooney Rule, Brandon, or whoever wants to call in and chime in about that. I'm all for it. Or we can get into some of the other things that Bill Cowher kind of said. But, like, you know what I'm saying, even with the Rooney Rule, he's talking about, like, what about, like, other coaches who haven't got an opportunity that now Jeff Saturday, because Jeff Saturday is a media darling and also a fan, you know what I'm saying, a folk hero of the Colts, too. He automatically gets to jump into the pool of coaching. But, again, all that is secondary. Jeff Saturday got the team prepared, and he also was the media darling that they expected. And Brandon, guess what, Brandon? I don't think it's going away. You know what I'm saying? I think this is going to get more support. You know what I'm saying? Even if it goes a little sideways in the one-loss column coming down the pipeline, but it's not going to go away. Because if you're not winning, Brandon, this particular owner, if he ain't winning the Super Bowl, he wants to win what? The media game. And this is who all eyes on right now? The Colts. As far as the NFL is concerned, the Colts, because they want to know what they're going to do next. They want to know next Sunday if they're going to win, you know what I'm saying, this game. Because, like, Philadelphia is going to come in looking like, maybe the Colts can get them. Or, you know what I mean? Because because a lesser team, the Commanders, who the Colts just beat 3 weeks ago, beat, you know what I'm saying, beat them at home. So, I don't know. That's what we kind of have. That's kind of what I have, you know what I'm saying, when I assess the Colts. You know, was that the Colts team they really gave Frank Reich? But, again, those guys played on Sunday, rejuvenated. You look like Jonathan Taylor looked like, you know what I'm saying, his old self of old from last year. And, you know what I'm saying, there's more guys after the game talking about accountability. Paris Campbell talking about accountability. They finally got rid of the team. They finally got rid of the distraction of Darius Leonard. Is he going to play? Like, dude, he's just automatically going to shut it down, right? So now the Colts, everybody is going in the right direction. They want to get this derail season back on track. And right now they want to know with whatever juice and, you know, saying sauce that you know, since Jeff Saturday brought in. So there they go. Hopefully they can go 2-0 and keep it going.
Yeah, he got the guys up, got them ready to play. That's kind of what everybody was wanting. You know, when you look for kind of have somebody come in and spice up the team a little bit. I will say, though, and I think maybe it's just excitement from everybody, but we do need to pump the brakes a little bit, because I started seeing people talking AFC playoffs, AFC championships, Super Bowl this year. We've got everybody in place. Now, wait a minute. You got a head coach maybe, but there are still a lot of pieces that are missing on this squad or need improved on this squad that we're not seeing. So I just want to pump the brakes there. I don't want to put sour milk in your cereal, but it's a good step in the direction. Let's take steps, not try running right now.
Right. You got to break it down. So understand, because Brandon kind of teased it and going in, the Raiders are a crap storm. And I'm being nice, man. Brandon, I watched the after. What did you think of the quarterback of the Raiders after? I thought he wanted to retire. That he was so hurt and beat up, that the locker room is so divided. And now you have a new regime in coaching, and that seems a little off too. Like, I don't think he wants to be there anymore.
Right.
I hope Jim Irsay don't want no part of that of Carr, right? Because he likes the reclamation quarterbacks instead of just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and get you one of these rookies at one of these Power Five schools, man, and deal with that guy, right? But like, no, man, I thought the Raiders are a mess. The Raiders last year looked like a team that was ready to take the next step, not necessarily get to the Super Bowl, but that's kind of the expectation with that market. Vegas, they want to get to the Super Bowl in that ownership group, right?
Yeah.
But they looked like the team last year that could get to the championship game, right? They didn't look like they. I mean, they would need a lot of favors, a lot of luck to beat a team like Buffalo or a team like presently constructed. A team like Kansas City, right? Definitely Kansas City, right? So the Raiders, you know what I'm saying? But they look like a team it's going to be competing for a lottery pick, a top pick in, from the NFL draft. So different, they're going in different directions, man. You know what I'm saying? Especially with, and with their payroll, man. So the Colts beat a team that is a crap storm their damn self. If I can put it any way nicer, I can't. So that's how I look at it. But you know what I'm saying? They went out there and suited them up. The Colts, you know what I'm saying, went out there and suited them up. The Colts came out with a victory. It's on to the next one, and the next one is going to be on the tougher game. It's going to be
Philly.
Philadelphia. Yeah, a team that's going to come in pissed.
Yeah, they laid an egg against Washington on Monday Night Football. So that'll be interesting to see here. Sirianni comes back to Indianapolis. You know, he's going to come in pissed off because, I mean, there's a quote today that he said, "You guys can probably imagine how I felt, what my feelings are about it. That's how I feel about Frank. I love him. So if you don't think he's pissed off coming in here against Irsay, you know, got another thing coming." It'll be interesting to see. I haven't looked at the spread yet. I haven't checked the spread to see what it could be this weekend. Let me check that right now.
I had liked the Colts odds, and I hadn't looked at the spread yet. I liked the Colts odds before they took the L to the Commanders. Now I don't. There's only so much rah-rah. You gotta have the ponies, and the Colts don't have the ponies.
Seven. Philly by seven right now. So
in a close game, I'm supposed to trust Jeff Saturday and his gut feeling against, like, some, you know, Philadelphia. They've invested a lot of time and money in putting weapons around Jalen Hurts.
Right.
And he ain't no chump himself, Brandon. He's a weapon his damn self. He's okay. It ain't lighting it up from an MVP standpoint, but he's in the conversation for MVP.
Yeah,
that's just a matter of fact. That's just I know it's weird to even say, like, you know what I'm saying, Tua's in conversation for MVP, but these are things right now. Just a matter of fact, they got the stats. The guys we thought would have the stats, Aaron Rodgers. I get he had a good game this year, but I mean that's last week. But no, they don't have the stats this year. These young guys do. So I don't know, Brandon. What do you think
for Sunday?
Yeah.
I think the Colts keep it within seven. I do. Home crowd.
The fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right. That means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
So, I mean, that's rare air.
Buckner, the defense is playing better. Buckner's playing better. You know what I'm saying?
I think they're within seven.
Okay.
So. Yep. John, like, give me your thoughts on the wild game of Buffalo and Minnesota. My goodness, that was crazy.
Execution. Final execution is everything. You know what I mean? Bad handoff. Man, on the, like, you know, they were in the goal line. They just had to move a little, and that's the end of the game. You know? I can't believe that after that game that we were talking about as a power ranking. I know people don't care about power rankings, but, you know, they do mean something, because if your team was 7-1, you would be like, pack them up. We're getting ready to go to the Super Bowl. But right now today, power rankings, the Minnesota Vikings are kicking a lot of ass. I can't believe they're power rank number one, because that was kind of suggest that Kirk Cousins is like a top five quarterback. And, I mean, are you ready to say that? I'm not. I can't say Kirk Cousins is a top five quarterback. But what we can say is that the Minnesota Vikings, either on the road or at their own place, they're damn near hard to beat, right? So that's how I came to look at out of that game.
Yeah, I agree. The Minnesota Vikings, you got to be believers in them now. I mean, even though can you believe in a Kirk Cousins team, but, you know, they're pushing themselves right now. They're running away with the NFC North, and you got to believe that the NFC East is basically going to fold on themselves. Like, all three teams ain't going to be up there that good the rest of the year. Dallas, Giants, and the Eagles. Some people are going to get some collapses, but the Minnesota's running away, and you're kind of looking at a number one seed, possibly.
Possibly, right. You know, they got to come home and play at their place, right? They're going to get tested. I think their next game is against Dallas. That's going to be another test for them, because especially with Dallas, you know, what I'm saying, losing the way they lost against Green Bay this past weekend. So, and then you forgot about the whole other the West Coast, you know, San Francisco and Seattle. Like, what do they look like? How many teams from the potential NFC West can come out and make the playoffs? So, it's going to get rather interesting. You know what I'm saying? Right now, man, I don't know, man. If from a betting standpoint, could you bet against Minnesota? No. You like what Dalvin Cook is doing right now. You like what Kirk Cousins is doing right now. Not necessarily turning the ball over, which is what he's been accustomed to doing, historically known for doing, and choking in big moments. That's kind of not what they've done right now. It's kind of choking big moments. So, I don't know, man. Now, I could wager big money on Minnesota if I was betting, but, you know, right now, safe bet, you know what I'm saying, is Minnesota Vikings, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Buffalo. If they can keep Josh Allen healthy, I think they will. I think they've got a way that they can get there. Lions and Bears. Justin Fields continues to excel.
Right.
Didn't get it. No, couldn't kick an extra point to keep it tied. So the Lions struggle there, or the Bears struggle there. But Lions get it done. Bears are going to keep them interesting. They have a good offense, high scoring offense.
Right, and you kind of question the Roquan Smith trade, right? Trickle you both Roquan tackles and sacks, you know what I'm saying, against Detroit. Maybe a questionable call here or there in that game. But Justin Fields, if there should be no – and I know somebody saying we only beat the Detroit Lions, but like, no, man. You saw what I saw. Justin Fields is just ready for you know what I'm saying, the general manager to get him, like, two tight ends and, you know what I'm saying, some wide outs and, you know what I'm saying, and another young running back or something like that. He's ready to, you know what I'm saying, that team is ready. And next year for them, when they start spending money, and now they also have another, like a luxury, like, lottery pick to cut to play a long slide, you know what I'm saying, Justin Fields, watch out, Chicago. But, like, right now, they still make, you're right, Brandon, they're making it interesting, you know what I'm saying, for the North. But, yeah, I don't know if they can't catch Minnesota. But, yeah, they're definitely making it interesting for the North. And I think a lot of it is because of Justin Fields.
Yeah, Pittsburgh Steelers, they got a nice win over the Saints. Kenny Pickett looked good. Steelers defense is back with T.J. Watt came back. No Mika Fitzpatrick, but T.J. Watt came back. He made his presence known with sacks against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins won. They're continuing to be first place in the AFC East. You look at the standings right now. It's Dolphins 1, Jets 2, and the Buffalo Bills are 3rd in the division. How crazy is that?
It's crazy how all that's going to shake out at some point. Rumbling. You know how I like rumblings of rumors. Well, Brandon, rumblings of Bill Belichick. You know what I'm saying? No longer being like, what is the time? What do you think his timetable? What would you say his timetable would be? You know what I'm saying? But there's like rumblings of like small fan discourse, not, you know what I'm saying, ready for a change of, you know what I'm saying, Bill Belichick. It's been a long time. Bill Belichick, think how long Bill Belichick's been the head coach of the New England Patriots. You know what I'm saying? And like that, you know what I'm saying, those people are addicted to winning. And so, you know, Bill's winning right now, but it ain't winning like how they used to the level. So rumblings of like, you know what I'm saying, fan displeasure with, I don't think there's anything to it, but you know, this is small rumblings of like fan displeasure with, Bill Belichick and the way the Patriots are kind of going this season right now. But like, no, man, the AFC East is, I don't know, Brandon, I mean, right now, as long as Tua is healthy, Miami's going to ride it out.
Yeah.
New coach, and boom, let's go.
Yeah, they look good. They're They're killing it, leading the way.
I can't put them in the Super Bowl, though. Let's not get crazy.
Oh, no. Not a chance. Interesting. NBA TV just put their rookie ladder out for top rookies. Number one rookie right now in the NBA is Benedict Mathurin. Shout out to the NBA, giving him some respect like that. He's one. Jaden Ivey's two. Paolo Banchero, three. Keegan Murray, four. And Jabari Smith Jr. is five. Bucks got back on the winning ways this weekend. I figured they would, playing there in over there in Germany. Pretty easy for them to get that dub.
I mean, it wasn't for lack of – I mean, it was a suspenseful game. Just not enough offense. If you keep a close game with Tom Brady, you know what I'm saying, 7 points, 6 points, like, dude, like the pressure's on Mount on the other side, or he's gonna, I mean, it's no defense that he hasn't seen. So, different conversation, man. Just put a pin in it, man. Like, why are they having games in Germany? We gotta talk about that, man.
Dude,
that robs the people, the home crowd, of a game, man. It's not right, dude. Is it really growing a game? Do people really care? They were singing, though. I get it. They were into it, though, so I can't take away from it.
More people could fit in that stadium than you could in Tampa.
Man.
So they got more ticket sales.
Man.
I mean, yeah. Look at it. In the NBA... The NBA is looking at expansion, right? And I just saw a report today that they're considering putting a team in Mexico City.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it worked in Canada, right?
Yeah, it worked in Toronto. It did work in Vancouver.
True.
The NBA better try to go back to Seattle. This is a suggestion.
Sean Kemp will be the GM. R.I.P.
There you go. Stop. All right, man. You didn't want to who else did you want to deep dive into?
I'm looking. I honestly didn't have a my prep sheet really sucked today. I was busy with a lot of other crap going on.
Right.
I'm looking. Give me a second here if there's anything else that twinkled my eye. This is kind of an off-the-cuff show tonight, and that's kind of how it'll be. Chiefs got a nice win, 10-point win over Jacksonville. I thought it should be more, but nothing really impressive there. The Giants go to 7-2. They beat the Texans. That's an X game. How about them Packers? Packers knocked off Cowboys. I figured Green Bay would win this game. I took them to win this game. Aaron Rodgers and them find a way. They're not out of it yet. You can't kill Aaron Rodgers just yet. But you can pretty much say that the Rams are dead. 3-6.
A lot of injuries. A lot of those. No, now there's no longer any depth anymore. You traded away all your depth for all those picks, remember? And you got a broken, you know, saying battered Cooper Kupp. He's on the IR. Stafford is not 100%. Like, dude, that's the Rams right there. That's the offensive part, right? And that's what we're talking about, offensive league, man. So, yeah, you can put pretty much the Rams, and we can see them next year. Team of Destiny, maybe next year.
Let's see. We also got 49. I question this 49ers team. How far do you think they can go? You got Jimmy G as your quarterback. Trey Lance will be back at Pelsby at some point if he's going to play. Christian McCaffrey in, Elijah Mitchell's back, Debo. It just didn't look like the 49ers team of the we'd expect.
A lot of them guys came back. They was hurt, Brandon. They was hurt in the beginning part of the season. Now they're coming back. So Jimmy G's the leader of that team. I know that sounds crazy, right? But Jimmy G's the leader of that team on the field. As far as they can go, as far as he can take them without throwing interceptions in a big moment, which is probably going to come down to, they have a defense that can travel. They have a team mind that travels because I know right now they're kind of low down in the scorecard, so they're not going to probably have a whole lot of home field games, right, if the play, you know what I'm saying, if the playoff, when the playoffs start. But they got a team mind, Brandon, that they come to your team, they come to your city and beat your team. Doesn't matter what style you want to play. They're going to play their, you know what I'm saying, ugly style or whatever anyway. So, like, no, man, I like them to kind of turn their season around because, like I said, they get a lot of their personnel back.
Yeah. Looking ahead this week, which of these two teams needs it more? Tomorrow night's game is the Tennessee Titans at the Packers. Who needs this more for them? The Packers just to keep themselves alive, or the Titans just to give themselves enough cushion over the Colts that way the Colts don't have a chance and they kind of can wrap this up?
Nah, I don't think. I think it means more to the Green Bay Packers. I think there's still much of a gap. Remember, they swept the Colts already. Tennessee has already swept Colts. I know it's a gut punch, Indianapolis, if you're listening. They've already been swept. I don't necessarily know. I can't remember where Tennessee is at with the Texans. They might have split with them. And I think they still got to play Jacksonville one more time. I might have a reverse right now. I don't have the scorecard in front of me right now. But they got their thumbprint on the South. They're not worried about the Colts right now coming to catch them as far as the South is concerned. They got that wrapped up. I really do believe that. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I'm not saying they're going to go up there and lay no egg, but they get quarterbacks coming back, right? I think he's going to play. And, you know, they're not going to get into a shoving match, they don't have that kind of offense anyway to get a shooting match, shootout with Green Bay at home. So I like Green Bay. It's a short week. I like Green Bay at home to get it done because, again, they got the momentum going.
Okay. Rematch coming up. Jets this time at the Patriots. Patriots beat the Jets at New York. This time it's at Patriots. I don't see it being an issue. I think New England gets another win. I think they just have the Jets number.
Yeah, that's one hurdle that they have not figured out just yet. The Jets are crazy, man. The little Zach guy. They've had a carousel somewhat at a quarterback this year, but they found ways to win whoever's taking the snaps. And you got to tip your hat to this new regime that just put together these New York Jets. As far as this game, man, you know, everybody got spanked by, you know what I'm saying, Papa Bear, Bill Belichick. Has Andrew Luck ever beat them? Not to bring up old sore. I don't think Andrew Luck ever beat them in New England. You know what I'm saying? Remember when my goodness, when the Chris Ballard said the rivalry's back on. No, it's not. Stop that. Don't say that. It takes a lot to make the next step to beat them. So, the Jets do it. Like, you got to raise your eyebrows with the Jets potentially winning. You know what I'm saying? Or making so much noise if they do be going to New England and beat them. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think that team's not necessarily mature enough just yet. But if they do, the Jets might win the whole AFC. So, but like, no, as far as these games are, my professional opinion, I don't think they have. I think New England takes care of business at home.
Probably the game of the week. Give me at 4:25 with Jim Nance and Tony Romo. Cowboys at the Vikings. That's going to be a big one.
Right, like I said, that's going to be a big game. It's going because right now, the Cowboys are descending. You could have said when Dak came back that team got better because, again, he's the leader. I mean, he is a little bit better than Cooper Kupp. But he's kind of been up and down playing, and like everybody's kind of pointing the finger at him. They don't need – you kind of called it out two shows ago. They just need Pollard. As far as running back support, they don't need, you know what I'm saying, the Ewok brothers. They don't need him anymore. He's not important anymore.
Right.
He's not special anymore. They win games without him. So, like, you know, but, at some point he'll come into play. He is still some of a special talent, right? But as far as this game is concerned, they need to win this game. Minnesota, nobody really believes in them. You know what I'm saying? So take that. The Cowboys need to go in there with a little bit of an edge and win that game, dude. Otherwise, people are going to do the whispers, right, Brandon, of is Mike McCarthy going to be still here next year? All that kind of stuff kind of comes. Or another one, is Dak Prescott, is he really a top 10 quarterback? Man, these dudes, they're talking about Dak Prescott was like the homie down in Atlanta. They said he's that terrible. I said, no way. Dak Prescott's better than that. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of support system that he has around the team, but he's better than that. But all those whispers kind of come back if they lose this game. They need to win. They didn't have that. Remember, we were talking three episodes ago. We was like, Mark McCarthy, man, his job is safe. They took their lumps. Cooper Kupp came out there. That dude performed. They lost one game. Cooper Kupp went 3-1.
Yeah.
Dak came back. They took a loss. Then they went back. Then Dak, they shake cobwebs off. And then next game, it looked like Dak Prescott looked like they was going, you know, line them back up again. Let's go just challenge for the NFC. But I don't know. Brandon, not to ramble all too much, here's the problem. Whether they win this game, they really need to win this game because here's another reason. Their division got real good, real fast. The margin of error, so like whether you think that the New York Giants can get to the Super Bowl, like because their margin of error, they don't necessarily believe, somebody jokingly told me they don't necessarily believe in their quarterback, but hell, you can't get rid of him. Hell, he's winning for you. So Daniel Jones, you know what I'm saying, go for it. He probably he should get comeback player of the year, but no, he won't. Nobody, then everybody thought he was going to be on somebody else's backup quarterback situation next year. Now he looks like a bona fide, lost some stability. Got rid of Joe Judge, punk ass, and they got some stability in New York. But the Giants are good. Man, what's his name? Brandon. Ron Rivera, if Ron Rivera ever gets a generational quarterback, he'll win the Super Bowl three years in a row.
They got one.
That dude's not generational. Stop it. Tyler Heineke, stop it. But look what he does
Taylor.
With his team. Taylor. Look what he does with his teams. He gets the most out of them. And they went like, dude, everybody counted them out this weekend. I mean, sorry, this pass against Philadelphia.
Right.
They said Philadelphia was going to moonwalk them dudes, man. It didn't happen. So, like, this division right here, everybody's 500.
It's wild.
And capable of, you know what I'm saying, making a move. If Dak Prescott gets hurt, then the Cowboys' chances are significantly to making a playoff move. You know what I'm saying? It's sour.
So let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
You don't have to give me the team. What division does a Super Bowl champion come out of? Right now. If we said, hey, Jonathan, gun to head. What division?
You asked me division. I thought, damn, it's harder. That's division, that's harder, man. Ask me, like, what team? Man, I can't, like, Philadelphia's not necessarily ready to take the next step. I still think it's the Chiefs somehow get there, so we'll say
Kansas City above the other divisions. If I gave you the other divisions or Kansas City, which would you take?
The other divisions are Kansas City.
Wow. Okay. I was curious just kind of where your mindset is at with it, because if you're giving me 18, well, shit, really, what, 3-2? No, 3-1, 4. You're giving me 4 teams, really. Because let's think about it, the AFC East. Dolphins, can they get there? Yes. Can the Jets get there? No. Patriots. No. Yeah.
The Dolphins cannot get to the Super Bowl.
Yes, they can. What have they done to show you they couldn't?
Dolphins can't get to the Super Bowl.
I'm telling you.
Winning regular season games and then, you know what I'm saying, going on the road Or even hosting a big game with a, you know, a big time defense rolled up in here. Okay, what if a big time defense comes up? No. What if Dolphins versus the Ravens in a or the Chiefs?
Okay, I'm glad you said that.
They haven't.
There's one team you haven't said, and they've already beat the team that's beaten both of those teams, and they play similar styles. The Buffalo Bills.
Well, right.
They beat the Bills.
I can't help the Bills still got a choke juice on them from 1990 and Jim Kelly.
Oh.
That's on their quarterback. Their losses go back to how they lost. And another fact, Brandon, they don't have a good running game. They have a good if he ever got a good running game, God bless America. He's a pretty good running. Josh Allen's a pretty good running threat his damn self.
Right.
But we really don't want our quarterbacks out here playing like they're running backs, right? We don't. They don't have the same kind of pads. But they don't really have a good running game, man. But sometimes in big moments, man, he's the one who fumbled the snap.
Right.
Who threw the interception? You
he
know what I'm saying?
To.
So
Right.
So They still got something to prove just a little bit.
Okay. Switch gears, John. Let's go to the association, the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Latest came out that the Los Angeles Clippers are interested in Miles Turner. They would give us a package that would have involved 2027 or first round pick, Luke Kennard. And somebody else was involved in that trade for Miles Turner. So the Lakers are doing everything possible to set the narrative to be for them. I mean, I saw the image yesterday that went out that, oh, my God, Rob Pelinka at the airport, and it's going to Indianapolis, and he's taking the plane to Indianapolis. They show the picture. Okay. And then Buddy Hield gives eye emojis. Number one, you spliced those together because the eye emojis was from Buddy during the Champions Classic. And the whole reason that Rob Pelinka came to Indianapolis yesterday was because of the Champions Classic. Four teams, four NBA draft talents from those teams. You're basically getting a mini combine right there to watch. And plus the Pacers already left yesterday morning for Charlotte, for their game tonight. So, the Lakers, let's talk Lake. I mean, you're 2-10? Pat Beverly, by the way, here's a trivia for you. Pat Beverly, I listened to his podcast. Pat Beverly's never been not in the playoffs in his years. Every year he's been on a team, they've made the playoffs. So, he says they suck right now. We suck. That's exactly what his words. Like, what do you do? Because, and here's another thing, and I'll throw it on top of you. Me and you make fun of street clothes, right? And NBA on TNT, they make fun of street clothes, Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to tell you, since the 2019 season, who's played more games, Anthony Davis or Paul George?
Ooh, man, you would think it would be Anthony Davis. But
it's Anthony Davis.
Oh, yes, okay.
Who, since 2019, has played more games, Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, I know that. That's Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. So he gets so much shit for street clothes, this, and he's played way more than what Kawhi or Paul George has played. And they don't get as much credit.
Well, I feel like there's already been like except that Kawhi Leonard is the face of. You can just, you know what I'm saying, take games off and take chunks of the season off and just, you know what I'm saying, finish the season. But he's also nursing, like, serious injury. But he also be the first one to sign a $200 million check. You see what I'm saying? It's weird, but they offer him these money. Excuse me, these teams offer him the money, man. And then I guess nobody should be shocked that he hasn't played, that he's only played, like, what, two or three games this season because he's out with a knee. You know?
Right.
Anthony Davis is just bad, man, because there was so much potential when he came in with a lot of promise coming into the league. They won the national championship the year, you know what I'm saying, the 1 year that he was at Kentucky. And then they try to build a championship with it, or at least a team around him in Charlotte. And then, of course, he bolts because LeBron, you know what I'm saying, waves the magical wand, and he wants him to come play. Because Anthony Davis was on an extending, like, everybody just knew it was him and Giannis to be the next, you know what I'm saying, the next alpha players to take over the league, right? You know what I'm saying? Anthony Davis on the West Coast, Giannis on the East Coast. And it would have been like, you know, so two big, you know what I'm saying, franchises going back to back. I think the Lakers actually wanted Giannis too. But, you know, right. You can't have everything. So, you know, you got Anthony. But at that time, if you remember, man, he was playing like balls out. Play for the Pelicans. He was playing balls out. Didn't they win a playoff series? I thought. Then they got eliminated by Golden State the year Golden State won when they had Durant. I think that was 2019. But nah, man. So Anthony Davis hasn't necessarily lived up to promise. Since you know, yeah, the bubble did look real great. Him and LeBron look. I mean, LeBron was younger, and Anthony Davis probably a little bit less banged up during the bubble. But it hasn't necessarily looked. You know, it kind of looks standard fare. You know what I'm saying? It kind of looks like he falls out of bed and gets 20 and 10, but he should be getting 35. In this NBA, he should be getting 35 and 12 and three blocks a night. I'm being for real. In this NBA, with his skill set, he's no longer – Brandon, do you think him of the same skill set or the same regard as Joel Embiid or Joakim Noah? Nikola Jokic? Do you think he's in the same breath as Anthony Davis anymore?
No,
I don't. But at one point, like when everybody talked about who was the best power forward, center, whatever, you know what I'm saying, pivot guy that those players are, his name always was Benny. Oh, man, Anthony Davis is better than, you know, XYZ, and here's why. He had the better jumper. He had the better handles. He does these things, and he does them naturally, but it's not – like, he's not forcing it. He's not trying to, like, really go out here and win games. Russell Westbrook took it personal when he was playing against Durant the other night. He cuffed Kevin Durant. I mean, he takes it personal. Unfortunately, his body and skill set does not – he's not the half of the body and skill set that is Anthony Davis. You know what I'm saying? But again, so, like, they're kind of like, what are they – like, do you trade Anthony Davis because you're not happy with what you have anymore? Because if you trade, what do you get back in return? And you're not going to be happy with what you have. So while LeBron's out and nursing, a father time injury and a groin, the Lakers, their chances of turning this season around, which looks like mud right now, rest in the hands of Anthony Davis. If he really wants to play hard.
Let me ask you this. Do you think if LeBron would not have went to the Lakers when he did, do you think they'd be better off now than where they are?
The Lakers?
Yeah.
No. Because would they trade away for? LeBron signed up. Where is Lonzo Ball at? Lonzo Ball has not played not one lick of basketball this season. He can't shoot. He's almost, I mean, he does all the other things. He has a lot of great intangibles, but he can't shoot. And, like, this is supposed to be a year. Chicago wants to compete for, you know, they spend money putting that team together. Right? Bringing in spending money on a free agency like that. They spend money on him and like the backcourt they put together, man. You know, I'm not saying nobody thinks of them as the Flash Brothers, but when Billy Donovan he put together that backcourt, like, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Mid-Range, because he can't stretch the, like, that's crazy. It worked out and they won games, right? He can't shoot and neither can lob the ball, but they won games. Because they play defense, they got their hands up, right? You got a championship, Brandon. Out of Lonzo Ball, and Josh Hart. Come on, man. You make that trade. You make that trade every time. Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and Brandon Jennings. You make that trade every time.
If you're the Lakers,
Brandon Ingram.
If you're the Lakers going into this offseason, do you have or should you consider, or even Gus during the season, do you consider trying to refix the program and trading LeBron with how old he is? The value
I don't think that happens, Brandon. I think LeBron doesn't want to be there, they just have a mutual parting of the ways. They won't trade. They won't be in a trade or anything like that.
It's too personal, not enough business.
Correct. Right. Yes. Look, they're going to bring back LeBron, and, like, you know what I'm saying, once he retires, it'll be a whole big thing. You know what I'm saying? Hollywood parade style. So that they won't ever trade LeBron. That's not good business.
I hear he's still third in the city.
What they might try to do, once Russell Westbrook's contract is off the books, there might be some leverage you might have in trading Anthony Davis in the offseason next summer. But you want to see where you're at as far as
but that's not going to help LeBron.
Well, listen, you
want
to see where you're at.
LeBron don't want him to go.
LeBron's health. I don't know. It depends. If you could package, you're not listening, Brandon. If you could package a number one and Anthony Davis, what do you get back in return? You get a team back.
Is there a chance that they're just milking this season as a loss just so they can get Victor Wembanyama?
Because
I'm looking at it like it. They are.
Listen, right. Package, okay. You get that pick. You can pack it. What do you get for that pick and whatever else is on your roster in return?
Right. But
playing the long game.
I'm thinking they're tanking this year. I really do. I think they just said, hey, this is what we're going to do going into it. We know we have a difficult situation with Russell Westbrook right now. And
right.
We have this going on. And Anthony Davis, maybe he hasn't lived up to what we want. We'll create the narrative that there's troubles here. LeBron, you've been playing obviously so much, so take extra nights off for your injury. You're hurt, yada, yada, yada. Don't push it this year. There's a once-in-a-lifetime generational talent that's going to be the number one pick next year in the draft.
Right.
Let's suck for him, and then we can build this team. I don't put it past the Lakers tanking on purpose to have this number
you're
one
saying,
pick. I'm serious.
You need to have, do you have your PowerPoint ready? Because you have it. There you go. They are.
I'm just saying.
It's a. They're going to beautifully tank.
Yes.
They're going to try to.
Not enough to get caught.
Because Brandon, why would I trade my unprotected picks or whatever I might have for no disrespect for Miles Turner, who likes Legos, man? He's not. Man, when you watch Victor Wembanyama, it looks like it's unreal. It looks unreal. So, but you want to get that on your team, so man, there's no rush into get moving a contract here or there. To they're not gonna move a hell of a hell to bring Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, knowing that there's that kind of talent out there next year, and then potentially even the year after, when you got some more kids from Duke and North Carolina that's going to flood the market with draft, you know, as draft picks.
Kevin Durant and the Nets and the Kyrie. Did we go back in this next offseason and they end up trading Durant?
I could see them trading Durant. You know Kyrie, that contract, you can throw that away. They can wipe their butt with that $36 million that he, you know what I'm saying? Is there a breaking news? I don't know. There might be some breaking news on Kyrie Irving as we speak. He must have heard what we're talking about.
Yeah. ESPN sources say suspended All-Star guard Kyrie Irving is nearing completion on the process needed for a return to play and could rejoin the Brooklyn Nets as soon as Sunday night against the Grizz.
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. He does all things. He's fulfilled all the whatever, man. Let's put it all behind us. I'm all for all that. They still got a bad basketball team.
Oh.
Okay. And just because he comes on there, it makes it a little bit better offensively, but you still got a bad basketball team. Ben Simmons does not want to be a basketball. He's already.
The Nets are tired of him, I read today.
Yeah, the Nets are already tired about him. That means they are probably already tired. They are tired of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, you can't come in here and do anything wrong. We don't want to hear anything. Right? We just want you to play basketball for the rest of the time and period that you are on contractually operated to play basketball for us. And then at the end of the season, we'll see you later, man. No hard feelings. I think that's what the Nets want. They don't really want to send him on without pay. I mean, with pay. They don't want to do it. Brandon, when you tell your fan base, hey, Kevin Durant and the superstars, all-stars, you know what I'm saying, you promise your fan base, that's what you tell your fan base is going to be out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what this ownership group and the Nets want, you know what I'm saying, want to fulfill. It's still going to be very much distraction, right? Championship, I would take that. Even if they somehow start winning games, Brandon, and somehow win from, I don't know where they're at right now as far as standings, but even if they somehow went from, I know they ain't first. I know because I think Boston's first right now. But Milwaukee and Boston look like world beaters. They look like they are ready to challenge for a world championship right now. And I know it's early in the season. We're talking, maybe 12 games everybody's playing right now. But, you know what I'm saying, you see a pattern right now. And right now the pattern of Nets looks like trash. Kyrie Irving's coming back. I'm saying great, man. We're going to put that stuff, we're going to put this social distraction and behind us. But, Kyrie Irving has to understand, the next thing is going to derail your team season. The next thing could potentially derail the team, everything, and his career. He has to take these things into account, I hope. However you believe, because there's people believe Kyrie Irving should say what he wants to say, Brandon. And those people can have their beliefs, too. But however slice of pie you want to go, I just hope Kyrie Irving can get his career back to going. Out on the court, he's a dynamic talent, right? We know all this. He hit the shot. He's an important part of Cleveland Cavalier basketball, important part of today's NBA, you know. Says a lot of wacky things. I get it. Now things got out of proportion, man. Now come back to this, you know, saying to the table, bro. We all can forgive and forget, and let's move on.
Most athletic point guard in NBA history.
Yeah, but he has to know that it's thin ice from here on out.
Yeah. Pat Beverly said it. They interviewed him. He's the most athletic point guard in NBA history. And that's saying something for a guy who plays a hell of a lot of defense. But he's crazy. Apparently, I'm going to play the video. I haven't heard the comment, but I want to hear it. So I'm going to play it until I hear craziness.
Dude, please don't. Are you going to play it? I've heard it.
No, not Kyrie. Your boy put out a new one tonight, Mr. The football star, Herschel Walker.
Oh, man. Have
you been hearing his comments lately?
No, I haven't.
I don't know who's crazier, Kyrie, Herschel Walker, or Kanye. I don't know. I almost want to do a merry fuck kill to see who would you deal with on the most out of these. Let me see what this comment says, what this video says to him.
I'm going to tell you, keep the faith. Oh, you ever watch a stupid movie late at night hoping you're going to get better, don't get better, but you keep watching it anyway? Because the other night, I was watching this movie. I was watching this movie called Fright Night, Freak Night, or some type of night, but it was about vampires. I don't know if you know vampires are cool people, are they not? But I'm going to tell you something that I found out. A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know that? I never knew that, so I didn't want to be a vampire anymore. I wanted to be a werewolf. But then, anyway, as I'm watching this movie, and they can tell you how stupid it is because it's 1 in the morning. So I'm watching my TV, these kids watching their TV, Vampire Kill on their TV.
What?
So you know it's kind of stupid, but I'm still watching, though. As I'm watching this show.
What? I feel like we got to have the Dan Dockage dumbass moment of the day. I think I'm going to be a new sponsor. And I think it goes to Herschel Walker for this week.
Brandon, I might have talked like that at some point when I was about 10, when I really wanted to be a vampire. But when I saw a werewolf movie,
when you're running for office,
but when you're running for office, political office, talking about werewolves and vampires, man, people gonna think you're crazy.
He is crazy. Shout out, by the way, to USI basketball. They've got their Division I this year, first time, John, of Ohio Valley Conference. I went to school 2 years down there. They are up in South Bend tonight taking on Notre Dame. So,
okay. Give them
shout out USI.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's hit a quick ad, John. Let's hit our ad reads before we get Tanner on here, before the show gets completely wild. We'll hit our ad reads and come back. We will we'll dive in a little short college basketball until Tanner calls in.
Mm-hmm.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiser Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
We also want to thank our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, especially on custom motorcycles, boats, slingshot, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups and deliveries and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. Use the term Crossroads as a promo code to get 10% off. All right, John, we are back. Thank you to our sponsors. Could not do the show without them. Before we get off the craziness train, I want you to rank. I want you to rank these four people, and like most crazy to least crazy. Kanye West, Kyrie Irving, Herschel Walker, and Antonio Brown.
Damn, I knew he was coming. I knew AB was coming, man.
Because he went back in the news again.
He just couldn't stay out of the headlines, man. Oh man, I'm gonna have to say AB. He's food chain there.
He's top of the food chain.
He's top of the food chain there.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I would probably go Kanye, just for some of the shit he said. AB said some stuff, but not like.
AB has said and done some things.
Well, that's true as well. Oh, they're trying to top each other, looks like.
I tell you what, Brandon. Kanye West can go back to music. Kanye West can go back to music. AB can't go back to football ever. No level of football will ever have him. Level of football, not in the media. Well, podcasters and like YouTubers will, because they just want him to say like ill shit. They want him to say man, Roger Goodell came in and told me that, to paint a picture like Roger Goodell is, you know what I'm saying, some evil, you know what I'm saying, evil hammer guy. And I mean, that might be the case, the owner tells Roger Goodell what, anyway, AB will never, probably could have been a gold jacket guy that long gone. That's terrible. His career is D-O-N-E.
So we go AB and then Kanye or Kyrie?
He went on live stream. I don't think he believes in anything, Brandon.
If you don't believe it, right?
He doesn't believe the color red is red. He says, like, why is that got to be red? I said, dude, if you don't believe in anything, then why? Well, this is before now, you know what I'm saying, the breaking news, like now Kyrie's going to come back and everything's fine. But, like, his live stream is out there. It's been chopped up. Everybody's repeated it. And it's, like, the craziest rant that you've ever wanted to hear from. Like, this dude really needs to be locked up because he don't believe in anything. He'll say things that automatically are buzzwords like Euro and white privilege, and that he's a native, and that he's, you know, that he's not anti-Semitic because he whatever. But like, he also goes into the diatribe where he you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was a joke that he said the word. He actually believes the world's flat.
Yeah,
that's not like, you know, and he's been on airplanes.
That's okay. Crazy.
He knows.
I mean, he can look out his window and see it.
Right. You can look out his window. So this is who Kyrie is. This is who he is. He's a little tad off, but Brandon, he ain't that tad off. He knows what $36 million is. Whatever it is, he can't retire with his full money. Whatever it is, he still wants to play next year. I don't know. Why wouldn't you just walk away? The $90 million, okay, not to be counting anybody's coins. He got $90 million already before he got the extension, before he signed with the Nets. He got $90 million before LeBron came back to Cleveland. $90 million, Brandon, I know you're getting married. I'm not telling nobody, no spoiler alert about the show. Generational wealth is, like, I know, listen, now you give me $90 million tomorrow is generational wealth. I don't give a damn. It is. We will make generational wealth. We will. You know what I'm saying? Me and my family will. $90 million? Wouldn't you?
You'd leave the show.
Nah, I wouldn't leave the show. But we have to take a little.
Hopefully you donate to the show a little bit.
Yeah. We do things a little different. But like, nah, man. So, he does know what – he's a capitalist. He does know what the value of money is and contracts are. So he ain't ready to necessarily walk away from his NBA career just yet. I tip my hat to him because, again, man, you have your personal dreams and then you also have your beliefs. And usually your beliefs is built upon – so correct me if I'm wrong – your beliefs is built upon around, like, people around you. Your beliefs mean something to you. But I would say, me personally, my dreams – me more so, I mean, I guess they kind of parallel. But which ones mean more to you, your dreams or your beliefs? I don't know. It's a tough thread to try to navigate. I mean,
right.
But your personal, where you want to see yourself and what you want to see, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of that is kind of tied monetarily to money. So he has to play basketball in order to continue to live a style of living, man. So. Or he wants to play basketball. So I'm glad that we can get over it and that he's apologized to the extent that they wanted him to. But, like, the next step for him is, like, man, stay nice.
At least he can think about money and knows the value of it with everything because, I mean, it could be worse. It could be like that STX guy who's just swindled everybody out of their Bitcoins. That whole situation is crazy right now.
I don't even talk about Bitcoin because I'm not doing that. I can't invest in those daggone digital dollars. I'm not doing that.
Now you got that old school. You got that piggy bank underneath the bed. That's what you got.
Yeah, bunch of pennies.
So, well, I mean, to understand
we're the
it.
Fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000.
To understand it, you got to know
this. That means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
And that's rare air. So that's the only way you can. Speaking of rare air and the crazies, we've been talking about crazies, and we got the craziest one of them all. Back from his freshman's trip down to Mexico, Tanner Prinrod, what's going on?
What's happening, fellas? How's it going?
Glad you're alive.
What's going on, man?
Getting water down there. What's going on, JB?
Did you get a good tan?
Yeah, did you get a good tan?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was good. It was like 80 degrees the whole time down there. No humidity. Cabo Wabo. I would refer anybody to go down there. Great time. Special time.
Good to hear. Hey, so you saw John's girl then in the airport then, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's John's girl. I don't know if you know that. That's John's girl.
I know that's not John's girl.
I had no clue.
That's not officially John's girl, but like Jay Cargill.
Not officially.
Jay Cargill, she dates that baseball player.
Yeah, it's all right. Brandon Phillips, baby, Mr. Red.
That's crazy. BP, Brandon Phillips was my favorite Reds player back in the last, like, 15, 20 years. Before that was Eric Davis, but, yeah, BP.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in there chilling. She was just getting something to eat, some smoothie shop place.
She should have went up to her and just said, "I'm that bitch." That's her thing, right?
Yeah,
should've. Yeah, should've. I don't think.
I think they're in.
That would have been fucking stellar. She wouldn't even
I think they're in town next week here. I think so. They always get the leftovers. They get the leftovers. They're here next Wednesday. But, I mean, you already missed the tribal chief that was here this past Friday.
Did you go?
No. I did not. I watched it. So... which is probably a good thing because some of the matches were a stinker. So,
yeah.
But I will tell you this, gentlemen, I am watching old Survivor Series right now because we're leading up to Survivor Series. So I've been watching some old ones. And Flair getting pissed, just working that ring.
Oh,
Bobby Heenan yelling at him in 92.
Is that what he threw that chair underneath that thing? And
that was 91. That was 91. That was 91. I sent the screenshot of the VHS. I looked it up on Google, found the picture, and I sent it to JB the other morning. When Taker made his debut. That's when you dropped me on my head, brother.
Yeah.
Dropped me on my head, brother. Didn't even come close. I'll tell you what else didn't come close. Our picks this past week, boys.
Oh, yeah, they were bad.
It was bad.
I think I was looking forward to vacation and didn't do much research. And it
me and John both went 4-6. I'm now 3 games below 500, 44, 47 and 2. Jonathan's 39, 52 and 2. And Tanner went 3-7, put up his first stinker week, 46, 45, and 2, one game above the Mendoza line. So it was rough. Gents, the college football playoffs committee came out again last night. Any problems with the top four? We've got Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU, Tennessee, line there at 5. Do we have any problems with the top four there, or we think it's legit?
I think it's solid. I think if you're undefeated right there, you should have the spots. TCU's doing their thing. I mean, they got a little road challenge with Baylor again this week. But I don't think you can take it away from them. They're winning the games that are on their schedule. So, I mean, in my eyes, it's hard for me to take them out of there until they lose.
Okay. Do you want to apologize to the Boilermakers now, or do you want to wait?
No. Nope, because I'm not taking
them. I don't have to apologize, Brandon. I took the Boilers.
You did take the Boilers. I did not.
Boilers. I told you every reason why not. Illinois next year, look out, Big Ten. I'm telling you. Illinois next year, look out, Big Ten.
No. What happened was it's a crap game for Illinois. I didn't even check it. They got Michigan this week?
Yes.
Yeah, trap game city is what it was last week.
Man, I just figured we got to put some respect on them Boilers. Now, we'll dive right into it. The Boilers got a big game this weekend, big as in if they want any shot at this, they can't lose. So here's the thing, boys. It comes down to Purdue's got Northwestern this weekend at home. Northwestern's 1-9. Purdue's a 20-point favorite. If Purdue can win, the Purdue has Northwestern and IU left. Two very winnable games. They've got the tiebreaker over Illinois. They do not have the tiebreaker over Iowa. So they need Iowa to lose this Saturday at Minnesota, because Iowa and Minnesota are also tied.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to come down to this game. And Purdue's got a shot. They're still away, John. Even the team that we just saw 2 weeks ago that looked dead in the water, they still have a little bit of a shot. So we'll see what happens. First game, Northwestern at Purdue. Purdue 20-point favorites at home. Oh, man, I hate a big number like this, especially when it's Purdue, because I just can see it blowing up in the face.
Nope. Go wild.
Crappy weather. Crappy weather.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be below wind chill weather. It's Northwestern's weather. But Northwestern's so goddamn bad, dog. Give me Purdue minus the 20.
There you go, Brandon. There you go.
Go ahead, John. John, I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable whatsoever with it.
No,
I'm taking Purdue. I want to know why Tanner's not taking them, because he said he's not taking Purdue ever again.
Don't care. 20 points. I hope it's absolutely 10 degrees. They're gonna be a little tough on the passing game. And I don't know if I trust Purdue's ground game as much as I do their passing game.
Right.
Interesting.
And if it gets a little slippery up there and you can't throw the rock, I really want Northwestern.
I'm going to hope that Purdue's up by 13 in the fourth, and then there's a pick six, and they get to the 20, and it's a good push.
Yeah.
Brandon, they're not putting the dome up there, are they?
Jonathan, you're going to start us off on the next one. Number four, TCU, who I thought Texas was going to beat them last week, and my God, that was not even going to happen. TCU, number four, minus 2.5 at Baylor. John, what do you like?
Just late in the season, man, you got to be aware of these one-time good to interesting Big 12 teams, especially one like Baylor. But here's the thing we can say about TCU has kind of maintained the focus. They haven't let like the outside, like, you know what I'm saying, the hype. You know what I mean? They just play every game, you know what I'm saying, if it's in front of them. And they kind of play each game the same. They're crazy about analytics, and you know what I mean. They're quarterback driven. They got some athletes at wide out and tight end, and this is why this is why they're hot, right? This is why they're good. This is why they're here.
That's wrong.
I still think, I mean, they've beaten better teams, so that they have a great they got a great locker room. Brandon, I tell you, and Tanner, I tell you what, if they don't win the Big 12, this is probably definitely that coach's last year there, right? Because now the quarterback's gonna move on to the NFL. We're gonna see potentially the quarterback, you know what I'm saying, in somebody's, you know what I'm saying, green room. You know what I'm saying, come at draft time. But I can see that coach, you know what I'm saying, basically parlaying this TCU, you know what I'm saying, championship, you know what I'm saying, appearance into another job. Or hell, even another bigger contract for TCU. I don't know how big a contract, you know, they got a lot of things that grow big in Texas. But usually the money falls between the other Texas team, not necessarily Texas Christian. But so this is a dream season for everybody involved in TCU. I think TCU takes care of the business. There's no Baylor. They can get two craps about what's going on in Baylor. They flatten Baylor. It's probably it's minus two. I would take. I mean, I'm
2.5.
Two and a half. TCU probably. It's not going to be a route because Baylor keeps it honest. So yeah, I'm taking TCU.
Okay, Tanner.
Let's see here. Where I want to start, 8-1 against the spread this year. TCU is best in FBS right now. They got the best on covering. If you're going to let up, I think I was reading, it's like 2011, I think they said Baylor is 5-0 in these spots when they're home underdogs covering the spread. This would be the game, if TCU's going to lose. It's going to be here. Down there in Waco, the Waco crazies going nuts, and they get knocked off. But after what Max Duggan and company did last week against Texas with down there in Austin, everybody had him hyped up. Spieth was on the damn college game day running his mouth, thinking what was going on. They put their foot down and drove their asses right into the ground and came out of there with a dub. So I want this really to be tough on college football playoffs. So let's keep rolling with the Horned Frogs, -2.5.
Okay. Oh, you, whoa. Okay. I thought you were going Baylor. Curveball. Jesus. For my pick, boys, here, TCU 10-0, Baylor 6-4. Baylor's been good in the past, right? They've been good. We've always seen them. Hey, Matt Rhule's team back when he was their coach and all that. Boys, mm-hmm. Do you realize TCU's won 4 of the last 5 games against Baylor? With Baylor being that good, TCU's got their number, 4 out of the last 5. Well, why the hell would it change anytime soon? Let's go 5 out of the next 6. TCU, I got winning this one.
Woo! Oh, Lord.
Next one for Tanner, number 21, Illinois, at number 3, Michigan. Michigan, 18-point favorite at home in the Big House.
Oh, man. What's the over-under? And that's what I read on Michigan's like 2-9 this year of the over, so. If I'm going to bet this game on, I'm betting this game on Saturday. That number's so low, I'd still bet it. So they're saying they're going to beat them pretty much 31, almost 10-ish area. Keep it under there to cover.
Is this a look ahead?
Yep, that's why I'm going to go ahead since what happened to Illinois. I'm going to need, I think they're going to keep it close. I think it's another day where it's crappy weather. Going to be a lot of Big Ten type football, ground and pound Saturday. A lot of clock. What I like, the clock's going to be moving. Tick, 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 tick. And I think if Illinois can score 14 points in this game, they're covering this game. They'll probably lose 30-28-14. That might even push it to the over. But I think they're going to score at least 10 points. If they get over 10 points, Illinois is definitely covering this game. I still like them. Give me the Illini and the 18. I think they're going to keep it close here.
All right. Give me Illinois as well. I think 25 degrees and cloudy. 20-mile-an-hour winds up there in Ann Arbor. It's a look ahead for Michigan. They get to play Big Brother next week over at Big Brother's home. They are just looking to get by the best they can. Coaches will be telling them to focus, but the players, they're looking ahead as always. You know that trash talk going on. Illinois got a little sour taste in their mouth. They're trying to salvage something, still trying to get to the Big Ten championship, hoping that Purdue stumbles and Iowa stumbles and Minnesota stumbles. They have a shot still. So with them being in this, they're going to give it their all. So I think they're going to cover the 18. John?
Ooh, man. I just gave high praise to Illinois in the segment before, man. So I don't want to necessarily dump on them against Michigan. Michigan, Blake Corum is probably on the outside looking inside to a Heisman. He probably gets invited to the ceremony, but he doesn't have enough touchdowns. You know, I think for a running back. And I think the last what was the last running back that won? Was it Derrick Henry? I think has it been that long in 2009? I think Derrick Henry won. He had like 23. I think Corum is like stuck on, and that was not stuck, but the season ended today. He only has like 18. He doesn't even have 20 yet. So this is a game Michigan could definitely control, regardless, my personal opinion, regardless of the weather conditions in that regard. I don't want to go blanket with y'all, man. I'm going Michigan, dude.
Oof. Michigan. All right, so John's going to do Michigan. No respect for the Fighting Illini after the Purdue.
All
right, next one up. This one be for Tanner. Or did we already do Tanner start? I don't remember.
No.
Yeah, we did. We did Tanner.
Just fire. Yes.
Indiana at Michigan State. Michigan State only 10.5 point favorites against Indiana. The Mel Tucker. I saw Mel Tucker's game last week in the stands. The stands look pretty freaking empty.
Well, it ain't gonna be. I don't know if they're gonna be dealing with Indiana coming in.
You're not pushing a sellout this week. I'll tell you that.
Right. Michigan State probably wanted to start off the season a little bit stronger than they did. They started in the hole this season with the Big Ten season getting kind of favorable for them from a one loss standpoint. They played some of the little weaker teams. Guess what? Guess who's coming to town? Number 10, the Indiana Hoosiers, man. So the Indiana Hoosiers are kind of directionless right now. We can say that, honestly. We can say that the Indiana Hoosiers are very directionless. We don't know what they are good at. We don't know if they are great, if they had great wideout support. We don't know if they have great run support. We don't know if they have great defense. We don't know. We don't know if they have great quarterback. We don't know, right? What we do know is that Michigan State has gotten a little bit better. As like I said, as a season for it, and they picked up some wins. I do believe they picked a win last weekend. I think they pick up another win this week, and they take care of business against IU. I don't even think, and just move on to the next thing. We're talking about Tom Allen. Next week we're talking about Tom Allen and what his buyout is.
Tanner?
I'm with him. I think IU's just been getting past since that Penn State beatdown. I think they've folded it in. I don't know how I think Tom Allen's buyout's $25 million, but gosh almighty, whatever it is, they might have to get him out of there. But you're talking about a basketball school that's trying to slide it in and be a football school when they have one good year. You can't. I mean, that's what happens. They get in there, they have one good year, then they pay these guys like it's flipping Nick Saban back there, and it's not. So. Because they're afraid they're going to go somewhere. But it just shows you can get another up-and-coming coach from a school. They can take the opportunity to do there. I just think IU's folded it in. They're on their gazillionth quarterback back there. They got it. Zero camaraderie. I'm just going to say 10.5. The only thing that scares me is probably the weather. But like I said, they don't have a run game compared to like Illinois has a great running back to keep them in it. If IU had a running game to keep, I'd say they could probably keep it in within the 10.5. I see IU losing this game by about 14. So give me Sparty, especially after last night, what the Sparty did to the old KU fans and hoops. I love it. Yeah, I'll take Sparty.
Michigan State's won 4 out of the last 5 against the Hoosiers. Three of the last 5 have hit the under. Michigan State, the spread's been covered 4 out of the last 5 as well. So I'm going to take Sparty at home here. I think they whoop up on the Hoosiers. I think they win by at least 17. So it's going to be a little cakewalk for Sparty's fans and for our picks.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you for the let's ride. We're all riding.
Yeah, let's roll.
Next one, Boston College at number 20, Notre Dame. Notre Dame, 21-point favorites against Boston College. Tanner, what do you like?
That's on the road, too, right?
Give me a second.
Boston College.
Is it?
I think it is. And I'm just going to go solely on tradition.
It's at Notre Dame. It's at Notre Dame.
Okay, that'll change it then. That was at Boston College. I would have to take the Boston College
2:30 on Saturday.
All right.
30 degrees, 20-mile-an-hour winds.
I still like that's perfect for Notre Dame. They're going to run the ball that day. That's going to be senior day. The only thing is Notre Dame has, I believe, this is week, they're what, 7-3. Next week they have USC.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm taking Boston College. Yep. They just ran in high. They just knocked up. They knocked off with that North.
What?
They knocked off North Carolina State last week. They're catching up, baby. Yep. I think Notre Dame's going to be looking ahead to that big USC game. It's senior night. They got to have the crowd in their favor, but I think the players, like you said, are going to be looking ahead. I'll take Boston College and the points there.
Okay. I'm going to take Notre Dame minus the 21. Notre Dame's won the last four matchups. Notre Dame's covered the spread in those in three of the last four. 2015, they didn't cover. But we were all different people way back then in 2015, so that shit don't matter. Give me the Irish on senior night. Cover the 21. They'll go to bed happy, wake up in their lucky charms, and get ready for USC.
Oh, man, that USC game is going to be – but as far as this game is concerned, man, so Notre Dame this year has this year has played up to the level of competition. They have. This is the same team that lost to Marshall, miserably to Marshall. This is also the same team that, you know what I'm saying, held their own against Ohio State. This is also the same team that beat Clemson. You know, say, what does all that mean? All the, well, the data suggests they are. They, you know what I'm saying? When they got their head on, you know, and their goals set, and everybody's playing like a champion today, right, that they can beat and they can compete with anybody. So a lesser team, you should just roll over. I'm not saying Boston College doesn't have spoiler alerts on them. You know what I'm saying? They have spoiler capability, you know what I'm saying, for sure, to come into your house and beat you, but I just can't see. I think Notre Dame still some question marks. You know, they're still a little young around quarterback. I get it. You know what I mean. So it's not super sexy just right there just yet. But again, the talent everywhere else is you can see it. I think they take care of business this weekend against Boston College. It's not a trap game for them. They're not looking ahead. And take care of Boston College and just get prepared for USC and what that means. So give me the Irish this weekend.
All right. Moving ahead. Next one we have is number 18, Texas at, and I'm and I was looking at them in that one. Number I had them in the Big 12 or the SEC already. Number 18, Texas, 9-point favorites at Kansas. Kansas is going bowling, folks. They're happy. They're going bowling. 9 points. It's moved up to 9.5 right now. With this, I think Texas is just looking to make a comeback and kind of off of last week's debacle that they had. Kansas, they're happy. They're going bowling. It's been a great year for them, the kind of where they used to be back when Charlie Weiss coached them and they went freaking winless. So, but when you got to come down and make a decision to win a bet, boys, when the stars are bright, what's that song? The stars at
deep
night are so big and bright,
mm-hmm.
deep in the heart of
yeah.
Texas. Well, problem is, this game's at Kansas, but give me Texas to win and cover by 10. Just squeak it out.
Wow. Wow. I'm not a believer in Texas, man, so I'm Kansas is spending money out here on their football program. We know, you know what I'm saying, they'll cover up anything for basketball, right? They'll cover up anything. Bill Self is out here serving a suspension for cheating, but they also let him keep his championship. So what did Kansas do? Wait a minute. We need to pump money to the football program. So they're pumping money now to the football program for $300 million or something crazy over the next 7 years into their football program. Kansas wants to be the face of the Big 12. I know somebody listening to my voice like, man, who cares about the Big 12? Is that still going to be even a relevant conference after next year? It still is. You know what I'm saying? Just because of the, you know what I'm saying, the TV heads are still, and the networks are still connected in the Big 12. But I say that, I'll say this. Kansas wants to be the face of the Big 12 in football and basketball going further next year. that I know, and they, otherwise they wouldn't invest the money. What better way to send out your wicked little stepbrother, Texas, with a loss? Give me Kansas.
Tanner?
Woo, doggy. I like it. I like it. And I had some tidbits in here that I want to throw in here. So they're going in here. Texas is 3-0, gets a spread, followed a straight-up loss. They took a straight-up loss last week.
Yep.
Kansas is 4-0, gets a spread at home this season. 4-0-1 gets a spread at home. Best covering percentage in the Big 12. Kansas is really good against the spread. 7-2-1 against the spread this season. Second best to TCU. Great. Kansas has covered each of the last five meetings with Texas. With that being said, maybe Steve Sarkisian, I think Kansas, Texas comes firing out there. Ewers with four touchdowns. Texas comes out, wins by 14.
Woo! I like it. So we got Jonathan with Kansas, Tanner with Texas. I had Kansas. But, you know, going first, it kind of puts a little pressure on you. Thinking about it, fuck it. I'm taking Kansas. Give me Kansas.
Oh, wow.
Give me Kansas. Switching it up. Switching it up.
Some stats in there. Yeah, baby.
You did. You did. Number one, Georgia, 22.5-point favorites going to number 24, Kentucky. Kentucky, guys, I feel like the wheels have fallen off on this school. Jonathan, what say you? Georgia, minus 22.5 at Kentucky.
Give me Georgia. They're
not the basketball program.
Yeah, give me give me Georgia. They're rolling.
Okay, Tanner?
I think he's in the right spot. I think Florida's got a – I mean, not Florida. Kentucky's wheels have came off. I think it'll be low scoring too. I think this game will be low scoring, but a blowout. But I think, like you said, Georgia's 6-1 gets the spread since last season on the road. I think that's a great cover percentage. I just think I've watched Kentucky. I've lost on Kentucky. I've won on them both this year, but the last couple of weeks, I've seen them, Stoops and company down there in Lexington. I think they're ready for basketball season. Well, that didn't happen so hot for them last night. So when they take two L's this week in both sports, it's really going to have those hillbillies in a bad state of mind. So give me Georgia and the Bulldogs.
Give me Georgia and the Bulldogs just as well, plain and simple.
Broncos country, let's ride.
All right. Next one we got, Ole Miss, the Lane Train, minus 2.5 going to Arkansas. LSU went down there, backup quarterback K.J. Jefferson didn't play. It was crazy how that kind of went about. But Ole Miss, minus 2.5, Lane Train, the swan song's coming, boys, because he's going to be going to Auburn here before long. So, Tanner, who you liking this one?
Let's see. I'm going to go Ole Miss. I mean, Arkansas's covered 8 of its last 9 against Ole Miss. Now that it's only a 3-pointer, no hook down there, I think Lane Train can get it done. Arkansas 13-6-1, though, gets the spread. Their last 20 games as an underdog. So that's, if you're looking to bet a dog, that's great. If I was a betting guy in this game, I'd really want to take the over because I think there'll be points. But give me Ole Miss on this one. Lane Train, you won't ever hardly hear me say that, but I'll say it this time.
Okay, John?
Man, Lane Kevin, if he is leaving Brandon, he's going out on top, man. I don't see Ole Miss lose a game. That includes their bowl game, or whichever bowl game there might be. And I know there's betting action around that, or where they might shake out. Arkansas was the hot topic last year, as far as SEC spoilers was concerned. Not so much this year, right? You know, what I'm saying? They still maintain some of their dangerousness, but I just think what Lane Kiffin has done at Ole Miss, they have, how can I put it, he's got the most out of that program that he can. So, you know, when he takes his fourth best SEC team to play a number one Georgia or even like a number one one B Alabama to walk away short, yeah, you feel sorry. Yeah, I mean, you feel bad that you lost, but to walk away short, like, you know what I'm saying, like, but not double digits. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, is there such thing as more victory in sports? I don't know, but, you know, that's kind of more victory. So, you know, I kind of get what you're saying, Brandon, about him leaving. Him at Auburn and the bankroll that Auburn has. So, like, dude, it'll be Auburn back, Bama, LSU going crazy again, right? And that's kind of what the SEC world kind of wants, right? But, like, no, man. He's got this team back to where they can kind of roll into anywhere. The Ole Miss can kind of roll anywhere and beat whoever. You know what I mean? I kind of stopped doubting them after they beat the Hoosiers a couple years ago in the Holiday Bowl. I think that was a Holiday Bowl. I could be wrong, but yeah, they beat the Hoosiers and like it wasn't even close. It really wasn't even close. Like they kept it. Like I felt the referees kept it close. You know what I'm saying? More so than anything. But he's built this program up, and we also know he's a damn good coach. He's all the little. You know what I'm saying? The missteps that he's done, whether it was at Tennessee or USC, I think he kind of put those all those things kind of past him. And like right now, they just kind of smell the roses. Did the national championship kind of get out of the way from him, or the SEC championship kind of get out of the way from him? As far as this year's concerned, yeah. But as far as finishing out, you know what I'm saying, on top and finishing out winning, they take care of business. And like it starts this weekend. I got them winning this weekend. Give me Ole Miss.
Okay, and I don't even need to make a pick on this one.
Yeah, buddy.
Everybody knows where that train's going. And
Broncos country, let's ride.
We're riding the lane train. Everybody's on the lane train. We're riding it. A game that had so much hope and potential beginning of the year has went to complete dog shit. Oklahoma State at Oklahoma, Red River Shootout. Oklahoma's -7 at home. Tanner, what do you like?
I'm rolling with Boomer Sooner. With that Sanders dude out for Oklahoma State, I'm gonna roll with Gabriel and Sooners. I think they'll win this one. Even though they took a bad, I think last week they took a bad L to West Virginia. I think they were looking ahead to this. So I just think. I mean, that Gray guy's a great running back there. I just feel like that Sanders dude rolls that offense so much for Oklahoma State. So I'm going to roll with Boomer Sooner on this one. I know it's a rivalry, but give me the Sooners. I think Sanders is too much to be missing for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I agree. Sanders is out. I'm taking Oklahoma in this one because this one means more to Oklahoma and for their head coach to be in the good graces of the boosters at Oklahoma. You lose this one to your rival on already a shitty season, they'll be coming for your head, and that's where Urban will dive right in and take that position. So I think Venables and them have to win this game. Give me Oklahoma -7.
I like Oklahoma as well, just for the simple fact that they're not playing a Red River rivalry. They're not playing that next year. It's not on the schedule. When they go to the SEC, I was there on the schedule anymore. So yeah, it definitely needs more to Oklahoma to win this game. So I'm thinking Oklahoma.
Okay, last two games, we're going to go out west to the Pac-12. Number 8, USC, 1.5-point favorites at number 12, UCLA, the Battle of Los Angeles. Give me Lincoln Riley and USC here, because when you look at the King of Los Angeles, you don't think of a fat Chip Kelly. You think of somebody that's young, spry, can stay up late at night, who's got the world at his hands. Give me old Lincoln Riley. Give me USC. Cover this 1.5 easily. Even if they only win by a field goal, give me USC.
Wow. Wow. Cannon?
Let's see here. Well, UCLA is coming off a loss.
A bad loss, by the way.
Pac-12 football.
I went to bed thinking they won. I woke up the next day, I didn't even know until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon that they lost.
They got caught in that trap. They got caught in that trap game. Always do. I gotta do that more. Just always looking ahead when you start sending out these things. I gotta look a week ahead and see who these schools are playing because I'm taking the underdog most likely. But if I had a bet, take the over under 74.5. I bet you they score 80 in this game. Easy. They're going to be points after points. If you're wanting action, there's going to be a lot of it in this game. With that being said, USC really needs this game if they want any chance to get into this playoff.
Right.
Chip Kelly. If you want any chance of doing it, you might want to pack the Rose Bowl with more than 30,000 people. It's a toss-up to me. I want to take USC. I want to take both. I want to take DTR back there at quarterback for them. I'm just going to take Chip Kelly in this one because I think he's been in more games when it's been more on the line. I think he's been in more big games than Lincoln Riley. And this is a big one. I feel like this is his big first one down there at USC. If he on and it's on the road, even though it's only a Ball State-sized crowd going to these damn football games, I'll still take UCLA.
Okay. John?
I kind of really want to take UCLA. They've kind of shown this season that they've been able to bounce back after a loss. This battle of LA really does mean something to them, to this franchise. This is something that Big Ten people are going to have to learn real fast because this is a rivalry game that's going to be coming onto, you know, saying onto Big Ten network real soon, right? So, but UCLA is good enough to get the job done. Are they mature enough to get the job done? Even though it's on the road, it's cross town, right? As Tanner alluded to, but it is. You know, saying are they good enough? So. Battleville and Los Angeles, man. This is potentially – that's not even potentially. This is. This is also, you know, whoever kind of shakes out of this can go on and become Pac-12 champion. USC needs to become Pac-12 champion so that they can jolt themselves into the number four slot of this playoff conversation, right? UCLA needs to keep their bid open in case, you know what I'm saying, TCU fails and – Clemson or somebody else, whoever's in front of them fails, and they can kind of potentially even, as crazy as that might sound, UCLA Pac-12 champion representing in the CFP, that would sound crazy, right? But all the things can potentially happen, we know this. So, USC, I get it, man. UCLA's coming off a loss, man, but USC, man, they kind of just been on autopilot, man. It looked good, not great. It's looked good. If we're being real honest, it looked good, not great. It could be a trip, man. I'm going to go the other route, man. I'm going to say UCLA wins this weekend and play spoiler and makes themselves even more relevant and spoils USC's season. Well, not necessarily spoil, but, you know what I'm saying, spoils USC's season as far as, like, who's going to be, you know what I'm saying, raising that Pac-12 championship. So give
all right, Corso.
UCLA.
All right. Long-winded, Corso. Let's go. We only got a long 2-hour show. We got one more game. Number 13, Utah at number 6, Oregon. Oregon, 3-point favorites. We'll start it with John.
Where's the game at? 13? Utah's at Oregon?
Well, Utah at Oregon. Oregon, 3-point favorites.
Man, give me Utah. I like them.
Oof. Tanner?
Ooh, that's a good thing. I like that, too. Utah's 5-0 as a road underdog. against the spread since 2017. Oregon's covered four of its last five. I just think that's a crazy stadium to play in sometimes. Fans get nuts.
Right.
I think they're going to be up for it because I think Oregon wins this game. They can go that. They'll probably represent that side for the Pac-12. But they got a little bit more. I mean, and Utah needs it to win, too, because I think the winner of this game pretty much is going to go that side for the Pac-12 championship. Big game, big time down there. ESPN, give me the Ducks. Quack, quack.
Give me the Ducks as well. I think just playing in Eugene, that stadium, what's on the line here, Oregon to get close to completing their mission. They got this game, and then they got next week against Oregon State, and then they've got the Pac-12 championship. That gets rid of that sour taste in their mouth, and they're going to set themselves up with possibly being number four in the country again, having a rematch against Georgia. And we all know how that turned out the first week. Give me Oregon on the win here. So, all right. Tanner, as always, my guy, thanks for coming in last minute again. I know you just got back from your vacation, so thank you for that. Good luck with your picks.
No problem.
And
yeah, no problem. Thanks as always having me on here. Good to talk college football. I know hoops have just started, so maybe we'll get some picks in there that week of that ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get that in. All right, buddy.
Yeah.
Take care, Tanner.
Okay. All right. See you guys.
See ya.
All right.
All right, it's Tanner Penrod. John, I don't have anything left besides Walking Dead this Sunday, the series finale. It's going to be amazing, as always. Man, I thought AMC Plus was going to have it, but they pulled the episode and said they want everybody to watch it together. That way there's no spoilers. So it's got to be a good one. So
yeah.
Other than that, I don't have anything else. I'll let you give your take on it and finish us off.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll probably be some leaks, man, coming into before Sunday, man. So probably be best stay off YouTube. Brandon, man, another great episode, man. Episode number 234. Dude, I got to say thank you to everybody involved. Thank you to Tanner for calling in and you know, saying and wrapping up. I got to get back into it. Last two seasons, man, I was kicking y'all ass, and now I'm like, you know, saying third, and it's not even good, man. But like, nah, man, I love. You know what I'm saying? When Tanner comes on and kind of chats it up with us, man, and we're talking college football, college basketball, man. So, you know what I'm saying? No, but great. Great having him on. Great having him. I mean, I seen D-Kai. He didn't call in, but I seen D-Kai comment on the Facebook Live. I seen Justin Powell, the homie, you know what I'm saying, also chiming in as well. Man, thanks for everybody, you know what I'm saying, for liking and sharing the post and whatnot. Thanks to our sponsors, Wiseman Logistics. Thanks to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols. He also chimed in today, too. Thanks to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. And thanks for our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, man. How could we do our show without them, man? Outside of that, man, if you ain't a Walking Dead fan, you will be after Sunday, man. I'm telling you, binge watch it. You know what I'm saying? But watch as much as you can. You'll love it. I'm ready to see Rick, man. I mean, he's kind of like the superhero central figure of the Walking Dead universe, and we haven't seen him in quite some time, so I'm kind of
about that. When his daughter gets shot, you know all hell's breaking loose.
Right, all hell, right. So outside of that, man, we got some big games coming this weekend. Colts, you know what I'm saying, Colts are trying to get back into it. I know the Ball State, we didn't really chime in about Ball State, but the Ball State era didn't necessarily start in official capacity. You know what I'm saying? Well, they played Elam and blew out Elam by like 50 or so, and then they played Indiana. Earlham, Elam, shame on me, shame on them for naming it back on four-letter college. But then they played Indiana State, interstate rivalry, man, that's what we want to see, you know what I'm saying? They played Indiana State versus Ball State. Dude, Mike Lewis, what happened, man? You know, Indiana State, that should have been talked up as a win, you feel like. But anyway, man, I think they played a night. Man, the college basketball season's here, man. Me and Brandon will be talking about more about that. As the weeks progress, I was just happy to see Dick Vitale yesterday. You know what I'm saying, walking around. You know what I'm saying, anybody knows he was battling cancer last year or whatnot. So it's good to see him out. Outside of that, Brandon, man, another great show, man. It's a pleasure always, man, brother. We will do it again next week. Thanks everybody for listening.
thoughts and prayers to also to the University of Virginia. That travesty, tragedy that happened there over the weekend with the three football players. Senseless, John, right. Senseless. So
right.
Thoughts and prayers to them. We'll see you guys next week with the Thanksgiving week special show. Next week, we'll see you then. Jonathan, get your top five foods for Thanksgiving ready. We'll have a little thing with that next week. So, see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.